Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're tonight's entertainment.
Look at my butt. Now look at my front butt.
Wada, 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 wada.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood chamber pressure increases.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Only Magneto's right. There's a war coming. You sure you're on the right side?
Everybody, and welcome to these videos, well, Geeksploitation's 5 Days of Halloween. Why are we talking about Jack Chick on Halloween week? Well, one, he did die, and two, his most virulent enemy, the thing that he pretty much hated worse in the world, was Halloween. It seems like almost every Halloween he had a new tract or an old tract rewritten to keep up in time about how much he hated Halloween. He was a very conservative, independent Baptist is what he's listed as.
Mm-hmm.
And he pretty much hated everything that wasn't independent Baptist. Mm-hmm. And with me tonight to talk about him is Brian Harris.
Woohoo.
And who is Brian Harris? What does he do, Steven?
I don't know. He just stands around and tells us, no, we can't do that whenever we try to put in something in the magazine.
Right. thank you for having me.
He's a publisher, head honcho of Wildside Cronus Productions.
Yes, sir.
And a grand
yep.
poobah to boot.
Yeah. I like the Lord.
And also, as usual, Carl Kafer.
Yes, I'm
Carl,
here.
Did you tell
thank
me
you. And welcome, everyone.
That you were shot the other day, that they were like a many, many posts about Jack Chick's death, but not a single one that was positive towards him as a human being.
Well, we'll get into this because you and I were talking. It really boggles the mind that he has crossed over into pop culture. And at one point, I want you guys to talk about how you think he did that. But if you take a look at his message, and I'll state for the record right now, I am a Christian, I do believe, but I'm of the Christian left, and I'm not at all, supporting anything that Jack Chick said. Okay, I want that clear. But
Brian
man,
Harris, when I don't know if you still do that, but whenever you bought a Winx Chop shirt, whenever I got my two.
Yeah.
Okay, you are an evil, evil man, Brian.
That's actually a little joke that the T-shirt the printer the T-shirt printer Fad Custom Shirts .com it's run by well actually it's not .com it's a two stores in Texas run by Joe Garcia and he prints our shirts up and he stocks them with Chick Chack yeah
good God.
Yeah, it's great. Actually, he actually produced one of his own tracks as well. He he earlier we would get the t-shirts out and there would be a track, a chick track in there that would tell you how to make Frito pie. Which
okay,
was fun.
Now that kind of track I can go for.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Sounds damn good.
Right, and then I think he might have run out of them, and so then he actually using real chick tracks, which I prefer, because it's just so it's just offensive. You know, you open it up, and there's just like this offensive shit in the t-shirt box. I thought that was great.
When I grew up down south, Tennessee, we're talking old south.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking you couldn't go to a public area, public bathroom, public laundry. This was where one had washing
right.
machines in the 70s. Without
mm-hmm.
running into a strategically placed chick track, either laying around
mm-hmm.
on a bench or stuffed inside a candy machine or left in the bathroom.
They didn't
that's what I hear.
Do it in the bathroom, though, because every bathroom I would go into and see one, I'd flush it down the toilet. I'm just saying.
I always
counterproductive.
Yeah. I always thought those were devious because he was smart. It was like, okay, sooner or later we're going to catch someone that goes in there and taking an unexpected dump. They're going to see this and grab it and want something to read while pooping.
And then wipe your ass with it, hopefully.
I mean, if you really want to go ahead and get people's attention, you need to roll the chick tracks up and put them in glory holes.
Okay. Oh, I think I actually did see that once. Honestly, you know, that big truck stop.
Go take a leak.
You know, one
oh,
of those off the side of the road truck stops with the floors that are so sticky that you might tear your shoe off in them. There was a hole in one of the bathroom stalls, and there was a chick track stuck in it.
Oh, Jesus God.
Safely. Yeah. Yeah.
And what's funny is that most churches would have, like, a stamp on the back so you know which church.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right, right. Yeah, see, I never actually had that experience because the church background I had, the church my family went to was United Pentecostal. So that whole scene was not okay. Like, I mean, if you think Jack Chick is conservative, you need to check out a UPC church. I mean, they were, even the message, I mean, some of the messages, obviously they embraced all the messages, but if you flip to the back, of the tracks, you know, it always told you how to get saved. And, you know, that of course, that just made them scoff. You know, you could just get on your hands and knees and say, I accept you in my heart. Pshaw! Like, that was that's so anti-biblical. Like, you can't do that. Right, you need to repent. You need to get baptized. Then you need to speak in tongues. You know, then you gotta walk the walk by, you know, abiding by all of the standards that the United Pentecostal Church had. So, yeah, my grandparents were old school, though. So they always had chick tracks. They didn't give them out. I mean, it was not like they just handed them out to people. But they had a huge, I mean, the original bundle, they had a huge assortment of them. But, yeah, they never pushed them on people. They never handed them out, probably because of the very, you know, how to get saved thing. And I never went to any of the churches and ever saw them supporting them openly. So that to me, wasn't, you know, like a lot of people experience them in bathrooms. I'd never seen
that before.
Where
I grew up, Ryan, was in northwestern Pennsylvania, a little town called Bradford. And we had a Seventh-day Adventist Baptist church.
Oh, okay.
Which is you know, even more conservative than the Southern Baptist. And they were the ones that would hand out and have them in public places. And I remember that they tried to leave them at the library, and the library person who ran it, a woman by the name of Candy Akdal, refused to have them in there because she considered them hate tracks. So,
I know about the infamous
witnessing paper that he used to hand out or send out with the tracks. It would be like, if you send out 30 tracks and lay them out, 10 of them get destroyed, 20 of them are going to get read. If 20 of them get destroyed, 10 of them get read. So just keep saturating any public area that you can. Not mentioning the fact that if you order as much as your grandparents did, he gets paid a nice little pretty penny, even if pennies a track.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, it was the Jack Chick Ministries is what his company was called.
I was going to say he put that money back into the company. I mean, they have a huge assortment of tracks. They still offer comic books. They still offer in the books and everything. But I think probably a lot of that money went to grease the wheels of some of the frauds they embraced. I mean, Chick and his company, I mean, they just out and out, they just basically rubbed the ass cheek of every fraud that happened to stumble into the evangelical movement. Anything, anyone, any scumbag, lowlife, loser who would come forward and say, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I also used to be a 54th degree Freemason, you know, and people were like, oh, really, tell us all about it. We used to sacrifice babies on the altar of a naked woman, you know, and they just, any old bullshit. I mean, Chick just embraced every ridiculous, evangelical movement in general is ridiculous. I mean, they've always embraced the dumbest shit. And I say this having been in the, as I said, Pentecostals and the evangelical thing, they always embraced the biggest frauds.
Oh,
the bigger the fraud.
Agree.
And, I'm sure you remember the Christian comedian Warnke. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Mike Warnke, they would go on these big Christian church tours. They were Christian comedians, and of course, then it would always come out, I used to be a Satanist, I used to be a high-ranking witch, and
it was this one-hour documentary on Satanism, where it basically has this guy talk for a half hour like, I knew this little girl, we were friends, but they made me kill her on Halloween because she was an innocent and a virgin.
Right.
Yeah, and the guy spoke at it the same passion, Carl, that you would speak about going to the car wash and getting your car washed.
I went to the car wash. I got my car washed. It's shiny. Okay,
yeah.
So anyway,
yeah.
I thought what we might do for the people that are listening that don't exactly know who Jack Chick is and what he did, I think we need to describe and explain what these Chick tracks are.
Right. So who's going to go ahead and do that?
Okay. Well, I'm throwing out the question, so you two figure it out.
What they were like little H-page morality play comic books, but written in little, like little tiny paperbacks or like the size of a rectangle.
Right.
And the Chick tracks were so unforgiving that they made Sid Davis look like a generous and loving person. Any person in a Chick track who did not follow a very narrow and straight line went to hell.
Yeah.
Like, they even had one. Here's one thing. He did, like, four or five tracks of how the Jews were God's chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did another track about a Jewish rabbi who went to hell because he believed in Judaism and not in Jesus as God.
Right.
Okay,
well,
Once we figured out what these things were, I thought I'd go back and talk a little bit about the evangelical movement and where Jack Chick came from and so on and so forth, so people get sort of an idea. So Jack Chick was born in the 1920s. And previous to that, there was an evangelist by the name of Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday began as a baseball player in the National Baseball League back in the 1880s, and he got converted. And he was very much a revivalist. So he had the tents and that sort of thing. He became so popular that he went to all the cities, and everyone drew to him and that sort of thing. And he was very much, believed in devils, that devils do exist, hell does exist, devils are here on earth, influences us. He was very much into the prohibition, and alcohol is awful, and all these things make us sin, and various things like that. And though in my research, I didn't see an exact connection between the two of them, I'm sure that was an influence. Because he was an influence on everybody that was growing up and alive at that time, because he was that big. Think the Billy Graham of that era. And so you get Jack Chick that comes in, and he very, very much embraces this. Also, Billy Sunday was very anti-Catholic, and the worship of statues and things like that, idolatry. And so you get these influences, and then suddenly, in 1961, you start seeing Chick tracks. And there we go, and that brings us up to 1961. That's basically what
and
I have.
What
I thought,
was funny
I thought
was
people would want
that,
to know
that when they first came out, even though he was against them, you would see Chick tracks and Chick products in Christian bookstores.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well,
and
the 70s
he made them
and
so small because he said they're easy to cut. The symptom sounds like a drug dealer talking about drugs. They're easy to conceal and hide away where people won't find them until it's too late. Target kids in school. Target places kids hang out. Look for
right.
your chosen target and make sure to always have Chick tracks scattered around at the places where those chosen targets congregate.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't
and of course,
sound scary to you, I don't know what the hell's wrong with you.
Right. And of course, they're comic books. I mean, which of course is going to appeal to kids. I mean, it was pretty insidious. I mean, you could have easily just done the usual, thrown a couple pictures of a gross-looking Jesus in there, white Jesus, a couple verses, and then the whole, here's how you get saved, get down on your hands and knees, so on and so forth. But instead, he's got comics, he's got stories, he's got interesting concepts and colorful demons and witches and all this kind of stuff, and it really does hook your imagination, as a kid especially. Which is probably, I think that's
and it was
it's
always
a form
amazing.
Of abuse, in my opinion. But
oh yeah, like that one that I sent you guys today at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, I do believe that.
Yeah.
If you're going to, I think if you're going to give a child the option of believing, that's okay. I mean, there's nothing. It's up to every parent to decide whether or not that's going to happen. Foster your child's spirituality. Give them the option of exploring. But I think that those forms of evangelical in the evangelical movement, that kind of stuff is abusive. It's actually child abuse. Even pushing hell to some degree, I think, is child abuse. So they hook a kid in, they interest them, but in the same sense, they're fostering hate. They're creating hate. You're teaching children to hate Catholics and Jews and gays and Muslims.
One of the things I would say, Brian, in correlation to what you're saying, is that the evangelical movement, as a general rule, I'm not trying to stereotype or anything, but it fosters a theology of fear. Fear of outside forces. Fear of everything. That I have to be all stuff, so they don't believe
fear
in what I believe, so they're the other. And
don't forget the dependency too.
Right. But the
some
people
do get addicted to religion.
Absolutely.
Sure.
But let me continue. You have this theology of fear and that. And what it does is anything that's the other is something that is attacking you. So all these things attack you, so you have to attack back. And this is what Jack did. Now, as far as I'm concerned, and what I am, it's a different idea because I come from a much more liberal stance, and so it's an accepting and a learning type of attitude that, and a respect of others and of other, religions and other ways of thought. And so,
and if you want to see exactly what Carl is talking about in his one of his most extreme tracks, go to www.chick.com and look up the death cookie.
The what? Right.
The death cookie.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's his most extreme anti-Catholic rant there is, are saying the devil created the Catholic Church so that they can distract them from the one true church, which is his and Jesus. And it forces them to worship the cookie god, as he calls it.
Well,
because
of Eucharist, because he was very anti-ritual. Okay, I'm a former Episcopalian,
and
I'm all into that. So, I like
have
my
you
cookie.
Ever heard what right. Brian, have you ever heard his pet name for the Catholic Church?
The Whore of Babylon.
The Holy Whore. Holy Whore.
Yeah. Most conservative evangelical circles believe that already. So Jack Chick pushing it wasn't a big surprise. I think there was most conservative evangelical movements, most of them believed the Catholic Church was the great whore of Babylon from Revelation.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Oh, even down south, you would have the Baptists fight the other Baptists that aren't the same Baptists as they are. Jerry Clower, the comedian, put it this, he said they were what they call deep water Baptists, which were the ones that believed in dunking your head underwater for the baptism, and the ones that believed in the foot washing.
Right.
And they would be finding each other, along with the Church of God in this town, and the snake handlers, too.
So you would
get like four different kinds of religion in town, and they're all fighting each other and saying the other one is so violently wrong.
Well, all I was going to say, Stephen, is that's the problem with it. You know, we have this feeling that we're only right. If you hear a Christian tell you they know you're going to hell, first, run away. Secondly, anyone that tells you they know something when it comes to religion or faith is talking out of their ass. They say, I believe, that's a different story because there are two different things. But, you know, we're the right way. Bullshit. You don't know that. None of us do. Okay, enough.
And it always amuses me about Jack Trick, jack chicks, two most hated things in the world, and they both pretty much come out of the 70s, and, well, 60s were his first most hated. The second was Dungeons and Dragons. He did two or three tracks about how Dungeons and Dragons are going to lead you into hell. And he used the old urban legend of the person committing suicide because a character died in Dungeons and Dragons.
Right, right. And we know it does. I mean, everyone knows Dungeons and Dragons leads to social death.
Here's the biggest bullshit thing about lack of stuff. All of the people playing Dungeons and Dragons and Jack Chicks thing, none of them look like me and Carl after a sweaty four-day Frito binge. They look like pretty people, pretty girls, pretty boys. No.
Right. Which is, I mean, like, you know, I mean, you know, it went further than that. I mean, Chick and the people that he embraced. I don't know whether it was genuinely, believe it or not. I do believe that some of them did. But they honestly, they would push these ideas that sitting at the top of these record labels and movie companies and game companies were like these, like, long fingernailed, like, peace sign wearing pagan hippies, you know, who are like wearing muumuus and having orgies and like playing Dungeons and Dragons to divine the future of their next rock album.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're forgetting cocaine fingernails, Brian.
Well, I had
cocaine
fingernails on.
But
that's the thing. Like, do you, I mean, the funny thing is, of course, when you actually get to a level that you've met these kind of people who do put out major label records and put out movies, you realize that they're just like average, boring assholes. You know, they're like every other Joe, every average schmo. They're just out there working their asses off. But you know, I think that also went back insidious belief system that was never really out in the open with the evangelical movement, especially Jack Trey, which is Judy. Incredibly anti-Semitic.
I have seen a lot of evangelical movements, especially in the 70s and 80s, who hated anything that would not put money in the hands of the church.
Mm-hmm. Well, to some degree, yeah, I think that it was anything. Well, first of all, it was anything that was popular. I mean, anything, because in our church system, it was of the world. Anything that didn't glorify God was of the world.
Right, exactly.
And so it was called worldly. Right, it was worldly. Oh, that game is worldly. That music is worldly. I mean, when I was younger, we actually had my grandfather in bedrooms and finding Petra tapes to break up into pieces. Because
I told you that.
Petra and Amy Grant were of the world. You know, and of course, I mean, they were, you know, all Christian singers are to some degree. I mean, they, you know, but of course Petra and Amy Grant back then were so popular that they had to be sinful. So, you know, anything, it didn't matter what it was. It could have just been, it was innocent cartoons and movies and things that you would look on and say, yeah, what's the big deal? Like a baseball game. It's of the world because they're wearing tight pants and they're drinking. What?
To me, that is the wrong word to use for it.
Worldly?
Worldly of the world, because that makes it enticing, not fearing. You know, it's like, you don't want to see that. It's worldly. It'll expand your mind. It's worldly. It's
well,
of the world.
Well, what they would say, Stephen, is it's sinful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
They,
I know they're
might
dancing
not use
around
the word
worldly,
worldly,
but, you know.
But I understand exactly what Brian is saying, because the theology of it and the exclusionary theology is, we are this enclave. Everything outside is of the world. Everything is against us and trying to break our faith.
Right. You have to stand against the world.
That trick Chick did attract in the 70s where he said all rock is bad, even Christian rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well there were actually a few people that were pushing that, not just Jack. There were some movements out there that were pushing against the Christian rock as well. And to some degree, I understand it. I mean, if I was a hardcore evangelical today, I would be pushing against it. I mean, look at where some of these Christian singers have gone after being so hardcore in the movement. Many of them are now gay. Many of them have had extramarital affairs. All of them did so much to hide themselves and hide their lives and stuff like that. You know, like,
why are you bashing Amy Grant so much tonight?
Amy Grant, I like Amy Grant. I still like Amy Grant. Yeah, no, I don't. No, I'm not just talking about Amy Grant. There's others. I mean, Ray Bolton, I think, came out gay. Michael W. Smith. Jars of Clay, of course, is considered worldly. You know, because they sold out to Jars of Clay sold out. Many of them.
I always like to call them Jars of Adobe, but that's beside the point.
If it even remotely sounded close, like Petra was about the closest thing you could get at the time. It was about as close as you could get to, like, Def Leppard, you know, or AC/DC. It was Metallica. It was like,
See, my biggest problem is some of the kickback of Christian rock came from two sources. One was what you were saying, that they were worldly, but also your more traditional churches riled at the idea that rock music was going to be in church and going to be sacred. There's no way that can happen. So the more traditional denominations, with Presbyterians, particularly the Episcopalians, No, that's not welcome. So you had those two pushbacks during the Christian rock era.
Right. Yeah, the church my grandparents went to, they actually, for years, it was like a point of contention between members, because the younger ones kept insisting, we need drums. And, of course, there was a huge, never drums, never, not drums, not, you know, because drums is a beat, and a beat will make you want to dance, and that's worldly. Like, that's a sinful thing. So, they pushed for drums for years. Finally got the drums, you know, because then it was time to go ahead and admit that the youth may want a little bit more. You have to keep them, you know, going. So when they did finally get the drums, then all the old people complained because the drums drowned out the music. So then, you know, they had to surround the drums with a plexiglass cage, you know, to keep the drum music.
What really, really, really interests me and perplexes me is that if you take a look at the two spectrums, right, your AOG churches and a lot of your Pentecostal churches, maybe not the heavy Pentecostals you're talking about, have gone to praise team. And so it's all these musicians, and it's a rock band up there. And of course, it's very, very fundamental, their output. But right before I moved to New Jersey, I was in Fresno, and I was involved with the Unitarian Church, which is completely on a different spectrum.
Oh, yeah.
And they were
absolutely
doing the same thing. And nowadays, it's not unusual to see that, your Catholics have your folk rock. Now they're having drums. I mean, this is all a social movement that is happening to displace the traditional music. And I could go into that
Carl got in trouble at his church last week, Brian, for doing a 20-minute organ solo.
You know what? I have been told that my postludes are too long. And I said, you're supposed to get up and leave. It doesn't matter. You can leave. You don't have to listen to me.
See, I have to admit, I really don't. I mean, I get people. There are people that, you know, they're absolutely happy going to church, and that's great for them. But I cringe. I just the thought of them, especially coming from the church background I did, I cringe. I, that the thought of listening to more Rambo hymns and just the preaching and the twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday, no VCRs. At the time, it was no VCRs, no TVs. The movement we came out of was just it was so cultish,
constrictive.
It was just cultish. Yeah, we weren't allowed anything. You weren't allowed anything. Women didn't wear pants. You didn't cut your hair. You weren't allowed to cut your hair. You didn't wear jewelry. You men couldn't grow facial hair. You couldn't grow your hair long. No jewelry. No shorts if you were a man. You weren't allowed to do co-ed gym.
Shorts.
Yeah,
if
Jesus
walked in your church, so short, Brian, if Jesus walked into your church, he'd be kicked out.
Yeah, he'd be like, well, I think he would be snubbed just because he was Jewish in some of these churches. But, I mean, you know, besides the point. I mean,
I am Jesus, your Lord and Protector. Get out of our church. You're wearing sandals and you got long-haired hippie. Go get a dish haircut.
Right, like, I'm not in the slightest bit surprised that Chick's messages were so well-received by evangelical movement at the time. And I think now, though, it's become a real hipster thing. It's a hipster thing now.
Well,
it's
that's the point that I think we have to go through. Go ahead, Stephen, then I'll jump in.
Wait.
Go ahead.
Well, Ryan, once 9/11 hit,
right,
his anti-Muslim tracks really start shipping those out again. Those are very popular nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I being, when I was younger, when we were first introduced to the whole religion thing, my life had been stripped away. My grandparents had stripped all of my action figures and toys away, all of my comic books, all of my cracked magazines, everything. All of it.
Oh, no one, you should go to hell for reading Cracked instead of Mad during those days.
My mother read Mad magazine. I read Cracked. That was for the young. That was for the young kids. Mad was for the older people. But
true.
You know, all we were given was you were allowed to play with war toys and action figures. Like, right, G.I. Joe was okay. He-Man, Star Wars, all this stuff was out. G.I. Joe was okay. And, of course, cowboys and Indians and Roman soldiers and war. And then, of course, you were not, you know, all your books and your comics, everything was taken away, and all I had was Chick Tracks and the Chick comic books. And so my early understanding of Islam and Catholicism were awful. Just stunningly awful.
And what were you
going
to say, Carl?
Okay, well, two things. So first to Brian, okay, you grew up in this in this very strict, spiritual environment. You must have rebelled, at least if not then. Nowadays, as you look at yourself, how is your spirituality? Has it grown to more Eastern philosophy or something or other? How what was the kickback of all this to you is really my first question.
We were introduced to, me and my sister were introduced to religion at the age of around 10. So we had lived, my parents were outlaw bikers. So we had lived a pretty rough life up until that point. So it was a few years in, it was maybe about 13 is when I finally just decided, you know, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. You know, this is getting really old. And, 13-year-olds, they want to touch tits.
Right.
I mean, they don't. Right. So
yeah, we do.
I moved in my own direction. Right. Yeah. And I moved in my own direction, but it actually didn't really, none of it. I just lip service. If they wanted me to go to church, I'd go to church. I'd sit around. I'd spit on the back of people's necks. I would flick rubber bands at people. I would fall asleep in the pew. It really hit when I was starting to read the Bible, and they would tell me, if a Baptist tries to save you, you need to say this, you need to say that. And so I sat down and I actually started reading. And when you really read the Bible for what it is, not for spiritual, not for spiritual guidance. When you read it as it is, it's got some really atrocious, horrendous, indefensible things in there. I mean, just terrible stuff. And it really started hitting me like, whoa, like this is just like, they don't really talk about this. Wow. They don't really say anything about this. Why do they mention this? Wow. And then it was, okay, now I got to go back and I got to try to dig up the original Greek and Hebrew. Let's see what they had to say there.
Well, okay. So okay. You went that way.
And
okay.
So,
gotcha.
Right. It
that
really
brings up another thing I want to mention real quick. One of Jack's works is that he would not accept any translation of the Bible after 1850.
Right.
Yeah, after, right. I think it's 1655 or 1855.
Right.
I forget.
Well, no, it was the King James. It was the King James that he was a King James. Revivalist, that's it.
Right.
No,
yeah,
and
anything written since the King James was the devil.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
The interesting thing is that the King James, if you know your history, and being an Episcopalian, I do know this quite well. Okay, the King James was codified Bible. So what they did is they took all the other different translations that were in England at the time in English language and codify them into one. Do you know how many different translations there were? You want to take a guess?
Oh, I'm sure there were quite a few.
There was about 130 different translations of the Bible in English before they codified.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, listen, this is the work of men. Translate and that sort of thing, and you, while you translate, you bring your own thoughts into it and put it in your own language. Right. And so, you know, nothing touches the original Aramaic, Greek, and even the Greek is translated from the Aramaic, and so on and so forth, and the Roman, and the Latin.
Yeah, once you really do the digging, I mean, once you get to the heart, and not allow you're not allowing preachers to tell you what to believe. You're not following the prayer group memes. Once you really dig into the book and read it for what it is, it's a book. It's a collection of books. When you read it and you really put it into context, and when I say put it into context, a lot of people use that to weasel out of what's in the Bible because they want to be literalists, but they don't want to stand up for the bullshit. It's okay to enjoy the Bible. There's nothing wrong with it. I enjoy Tom Sawyer. I mean, I enjoy H.P. Lovecraft. H.P. Lovecraft was an infamous racist. I enjoy
racist,
his stuff.
Racist.
You read the Bible. You understand that this was written at this certain time by these certain people. All of them, you know, many of them uneducated. Not all uneducated, but many of them were. That many of them weren't even up to the standards of today's elementary school kids. So you read it, you get a sense, okay, this is what they felt back then, this is what they saw, this is what they understood, this is how they taught things, this is how they did things. Okay, great. When you try to translate some of it into your spiritual life, I think that's where people start.
Well, it depends on how you do it, too, okay?
Sure.
There are two basic thoughts of that, and you lived one of them.
What is the second question you were going to bring up?
Okay, so let's go there. That's a good – thank you, Stephen, because I could go on forever. So when did the Chick Tracks lose their power and then turn into this ironic type of pop culture reference?
Honestly,
because that's really why we're talking tonight.
It was the mid 90s. Yeah. It was the computer. It was the internet.
Yeah, because that's when you had what I was telling you about earlier, that episode of Tiny Toons where they got drunk and killed themselves called One More Beer.
Right.
And it had that credit in the very first showing written by Jack Chick and Sid Davis.
Mm hmm. Nice.
And, have you like King of the Hill, don't you, Brian?
Love it. Yep, sure do.
Remember that Halloween episode they did where they dropped Jack Chick's name about I don't know how many freaking times in it, where Bobby thought he was going to hell for going on trick-or-treating?
Right. Yeah.
And it actually had Hank Hill look like a Jack Chick devil in a couple of scenes.
But you know, the interesting thing to me is what happened here? Because what really bothers me about this whole thing is you've got these tracks which are very, very what I call hate religion in many ways. Okay.
Absolutely.
And suddenly they're embraced. Now part of that we haven't gotten into the artwork. Okay, which I'm sure we will. But was it so ironic that people like, I remember seeing the rock tracks, you know, the anti-rock and roll, just looking like, this is bullshit. And I'd throw them away, right? But I didn't see the irony. I just saw, you know, it as something I disliked. But many people embrace this ironically, like this is a great thing to have. And, of course, there are collectors now on that. And it boggles my mind. Can either one of you sort of really, like, get into that subject?
I'm going to be on 90% of the people who watch older stuff and snicker at it or like things ironically really do think that they are better than the material. And how the hell can a person be better than a book, be better than a movie, be better than an inanimate object?
Right. I mean, the message you can certainly be better than, I think. But I think in this case it wasn't just the I don't think it was just that. I think that it's so rare to be able to collect together all sorts of paranoia in one place. And so that was the great thing about Chick. You could go ahead and get all kinds of anti-gay, anti-Dungeons and Dragons, anti-rock music, anti-Harry Potter, anti-Satanism, anti-Wiccans, anti-witches, anti-pagans, anti-Catholics, anti-Baptists. You know, like, you could never find so much hate and paranoia in so many different enjoyable forms. Chick offers
The Harry Potter tracks are the ones that got them on the iconic, ironic guy's radar.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
And if you really look at the Harry Potter tracks, they are a couple of his old 70s tracks that was another gimmick of his. He would take something like an old Dungeons and Dragons one and then change the name from Dungeons and Dragons to Harry Potter or something like that and just reissue it.
Right. It also goes to some, you know, I meet a lot of people who, for instance, there was some Christian comic books back in the day. And one of them was the swastika. I forgot what the entire name of the Christian comic was.
Heidi.
The girl in the swastika. Yes.
Heidi.
And,
Heidi, the girl
right.
who survived the SS.
Yeah.
I remember that from a kid.
Yeah, and that, I mean, there are people out there who will collect, and I've met some. I've met people who collect hate material. You know, people out there that collect Nazi flags or Nazi pins, Nazi knives. Nazi,
yeah, which really bothers me, too, but that's me. I mean,
is,
I know there's a market out there for it.
Exactly.
I understand that.
Right. Yeah, it goes not just to the hipster way, but I think it goes to this whole sort of macabre enjoyment of stupidity and hate and sort of this curiosity toward religious intolerance and paranoia. You can really enjoy it and get away with it here with Jack Tripp. You could never get away with it in another country. And I think that has allowed it to really blossom and people here in America sort of embrace it like, yeah, this is our own homegrown stupidity. Look at this. That's just so hilarious. Like, they really believe rock stars do this? And I think we're so savvy now in comparison to back in the 80s and 70s and 80s when people actually did believe that stuff. You know, they genuinely did. I mean, look at the Satanic Panic proves it. They genuinely believed these giant child-molesting, child-murdering conspiracies, so much so that there were actually Christian police officers who now deserve slaps in the face. They really deserve kicks in the balls. But these Christian police officers would travel the country schooling people using Jack Chick's comics, using books, you know, written by Christian authors, trying to prove there was a conspiracy. You know, these things were just so accepted. Now, of course, you have 10-year-old kids that know better. I mean, genuine, these kids nowadays know better. And so I think it's become popular. People are like, oh, I remember back in the 80s, my grandmother had those. I remember back in the 70s, I saw them at a church. Oh, I remember walking into a bathroom one time, high on heroin, and I saw one. You know, people remember back, and they're like, wow,
hey,
this is crazy.
Brian, I thought I told you not to tell in public a story about me reading a Jack Chick Tack high on heroin in a bathroom.
No,
experimental.
No, your experience was the glory hole one. But
Jesus, Calvin,
we really do. We look back on it now. I think for some people, it's a fondness. I love them. I absolutely love them. I love them because they replaced my imagination with more fantastic bullshit. But then, of course, I hate them for the hate they instilled in me. I hate them for the misinformation that they drilled into my head. And so it's sort of a love-hate relationship. I loved the art as a kid. I thought the art and the tracks were great. The comic book art was just freaking insane. Just gorgeous artwork in the comics. But, of course, you know, I mean, you look back now, you go back now, the comics embracing Alberto, you know, this ridiculous ex-priest who is on the run, the Catholic Church is going to kill him, and, you know, he's going to expose this and expose. The guy was a fucking fraud. He was a total, total fraud. And yet Chick embraced him, put it out there, and then here's kids like me reading it, and this is the first time I'm being exposed to Catholicism. You know, I'm genuinely believing that this is what goes on, and this is all of it, from the wafer down to the incense, down to the, you know, it's all this satanic symbolism. And, of course, now I know that no one is free from that. Christians sit around and talk about Halloween's pagan roots. Guess what? Christmas is pagan. Easter
absolutely
is pagan.
I mean, the co-opting of pagan holidays was very, very, they knew what they were doing, trust me.
Absolutely, and of course, the real, I think the real irony is how hard evangelicals hate, and yet, who put your King James Bible together? You know, where did this church come from? Where did it stem from?
Can I just say it because rah-rah Episcopal Anglican tradition? Can I just say that?
Church of England, of course. Right, right. But where did these movements come from? They all stem from the Roman Catholic Church, all of it, everything, including these pagan holidays. Well,
and I think it's
holidays.
Funny, we got all these Christians, Baptists, hating on the Muslims, hating on these. And they're saying the Bible is literal law. Let me flip through here. Love those as you would love yourselves. So, if you go by them, there's a lot of self-hate.
Or welcome the traveler. Welcome the traveler as you would welcome your own family. Open your home to him and show him hospitality. Yeah, right. Yeah, we want to build a wall for about, never mind. I'm not going to go there.
Hospitality is we send him down to Cuba and put him in that prison where no one in America can touch us.
Right. Anyway, I wanted to throw something out because we started talking about the art of the comics. And I will admit
very, very heartily that the artwork in these TikToks is very good. Now, Stephen and I were looking at who did the art. And the funny thing is, I could only find one person that was...
Jack himself.
And Jack himself. Were there any others? Because certainly there were at least three or four different artistic takes
Say
on these.
Say the black guy's name again since I talked over you.
Yeah, there... as a matter of fact, I just came across the info about regarding Chick announcing who one of the artists was, and I do remember seeing I saw a documentary Fred Carter illustrated the tracks anonymously until 1980, Wikipedia says, until he was pretty much outed the Jack Chick newsletter battle cry. So Fred Carter, I do remember that because I watched a documentary on it, and they sort of brought up how some of these people, like some of these documentarians, had been trying to dig out who was responsible for all this stuff. And of course,
there are at least three distinct artists who do those tracks.
Yeah.
Okay,
one guy who did the real realistic human bodies, but worked in charcoal. Then there was the guy who did the kitty stuff.
Right.
And then there was another guy who pretty much did the photorealistic stuff that was almost the same as the charcoal guy, except that it was drawn realistically and it looked different than the other one.
Right. I'm sure there had been a few art illustrators that probably worked with house style, tried to keep in with the style of the comics and the tracks, I'm sure.
Right. So the interesting thing is Stephen and I were having a conversation, and this came up, that there were different artists, but I could only find one. I could find Fisher. That was the only one I could find. And I said, I guess maybe that this was the evangelical Christian equivalent of working in porn films, because nobody wanted to use their names.
Right.
Well,
right.
Wanted to take all the credit for the work himself. He liked being seen as a one-man band.
Well, I think that they probably more or less spun it as, this isn't about the person, this is about Jesus. And so you don't need to know who's drawing it, you just need to understand the message. I think that was the idea. I really do believe that. I think the idea was, use Chick as the figurehead, the front man, and then, everyone else sort of stays in the background because it's not about them, it's about the message. And I think that genuinely, I really do believe that that's probably what it was.
I think you're probably right on that, to be honest.
Plus, we don't want your talent leaving. You get like all these really cool comics and all this, and suddenly, Marvel's knocking at your door. Yo, like, man, that's great stuff. Can you, come over here? Can we do that? So if you're not releasing their names, you're paying them steady. There's no need for them to be superstars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think genuinely, I do believe that he probably figured it's all about the message, because he seemed to be that simple. he really did seem to be that simple. Anyone who embraces so many frauds has to be simple. I don't think it was all that complicated. And I often wonder how much money they made. I mean, you would think the guy was just freaking filthy rich. They must have done well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
he's registered as a ministry, that means he's in the tax-free bracket.
I mean, can you imagine?
By paying his artists under the table, which I've heard of a few that They didn't say their names, but they said they know they knew people who did work for Chick, is that you would go in, you would do the work, you would get paid under the table in cash, and then you would leave and go to the next job.
And don't want to be known. I mean, I'm sure some of these people did not want to be known.
Yeah, that's why I said it was the Christian equivalent of working in porn films. You don't want to be known if you do something for Jack.
Yeah,
especially if you're working for Marvel.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can't for the life of me, I can't think of anything else that Fred Carter had drawn. So I mean, and you know, his style, the style of the comics he used to do was phenomenal. I mean, I could easily see this stuff being in Marvel or DC. But it was there. It was just in stuff, you know. And once again, you got to wonder how much money did Fred Carter make? He must have made a pretty decent penny sticking around with Jack Chick.
Yeah.
I mean, and really, how many? I mean, and I don't say this to say it's okay to disseminate this stuff all around the world, but how many artists can honestly say that their work has been seen in 17 million, 18, 20 million comics and tracks that have been translated in well over 100 languages or something stupid? I mean, not all comic books see that kind of popularity.
No.
You know, I mean, it would be pretty humbling. Like, damn, like, my stuff is all wide, and it's been around for, what? I mean,
since
I can
60s.
Remember. I mean,
yeah, that's well over 50 years.
And
I mean,
he only did...
Power.
That's weird. He only did like 16 full color comics. There was the Crusader series, which there were 7 or 8. Born Again, the story about the guy who was one of Nixon's guys who got arrested. Barney the Bear comics. Mm-hmm. And an adaptation of one of Brian's most favorite movies of all time, Crossing the Switchblade.
Yeah, all of their comics, all of them. You read all of them. The Angel of Light, The Exorcist, all of them. They're all just so they're so amazing. Double Cross, The Godfathers, all the Alberto stuff, the Islamic, anti-Islamic stuff. Even the ridiculous Catholic conspiracy revolving around Abe Lincoln's assassination. Great stuff. I mean, obviously, it's just idiotic. I mean, let's just say it for what it is. It's all idiotic. It's just all idiotic.
And there's one thing that will amaze me to the day I die, which I couldn't find out, Brian or Carl, and that is, how in the name of hell did they get the Archie license?
Did they get the Archie license? Really?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they put out, Jack Chick put out 2 or 3 comic books with Archie in it, in the game.
Oh, gross. That's gross.
They even had a comic where Jughead said his hat symbolizes the crown of thorns that Jesus wore on the cross.
Oh, that's gross. That's gross. And I say that because Archie is boring as fuck as it is, and so to heap more Christianity into the mix for me is that's
listen.
Just
all I get, oh, you know what's good for me? Jughead is Jesus. Okay, I think my perception of Jesus might be just a little different.
Oh, man.
And, of course, the one, and the last one I didn't mention was the one that Heidi talked about, the one that got in trouble because of all the swastikas in it, and that's Heidi, the little Swiss girl who beat the Germans.
Okay.
Oh,
I thought
anti-German track. Yay! See, I'm not, my people
and
are
no,
not.
No, it wasn't one of the tracks. It was one of his full-color comics.
Okay, well, no matter. I'm sure it was anti-German. It wasn't from sure.
But still trying to imagine sell a comic in a Christian store and on regular racks with about half a dozen swastikas in your story.
After a certain point, a lot of those Christian bookstores, they became so watered down as far as the evangelical thing went that it just got to the point where they weren't really carrying that stuff anymore because, you know, Catholics went there. I mean, Catholics were going into these Christian bookstores buying crosses.
His anti-Catholic his anti-Catholic tracts is what got him kicked out of the Christian bookstores.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I believe it. Yeah, rightfully so. Rightfully so. I mean, if I was a Catholic and I wandered in and I saw some of that junk, I would be enraged. I mean, you have to know it's dumb, but then you have to really ask yourself, how gullible are some Christians to believe this shit? I mean, and it's not, of course, I'm not saying that Christians are exclusively gullible, but how gullible do you have to be to believe it? And then what kind of hatred do you have to harbor inside of you to continue fostering these beliefs? Like, to, you know,
I want to say something here.
But look, the followers for the left and the right nowadays, they're spitting out the same level of insane bullshit. That you see in a jack chick track, both sides.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fire ants have chemtrails that turn you into gays. You know, or whatever the thing is.
Well, I think that it's a shame, too, because we fought so long. We've fought so long against this whole Christian backlash against Halloween and shit like that. And now, of course, you have to worry about the left because, you know, outfits may damage my child's psyche and colleges are offering counselors for people who are triggered by Halloween costumes. Right, I mean, you've taken...
There's a difference between a normal Halloween costume and white people going out in blackface. If a white person goes out in a blackface costume, I believe the blacks should have a get-out-of-jail-free, far-for-the-ass-whipping they'll get.
It's more than that. It's for instance, it's men wearing women's outfits. You know, you're offending transsexuals or transgenders, and you know, people going out dressed as ninjas. You know, stereotyping, and you know, it's just
we gotta like not be so politically correct. I agree with you on that.
I was going to go to the devil at the Knoxville Horror Fest. But I got accused of offending Satanists.
Lovely. Can I just interject a quick story? This is basically for Brian. I know you hate me telling personal stories, but I ran music store. And we had Bibles and we had a lot of stuff in there because the Christian bookstore had went under. And so I had a Baptist minister come in, a real, you know, Seventh-day Adventist Baptist.
Fire and brimstone.
Yeah, fire and brimstone. And he came in, and he started going on this anti-gay rant. Now, I was in New York during the AIDS crisis. I was at, like, 22 funerals. And three of them were very close friends. I was pallbearers, all gay. Okay, and I'm not gay myself, but I was very, you know, half our clientele, more than half, was gay. But he just got on me so much. I went and got out the Baptist hymnal that we had. I said, you don't like gays? Then I guess you don't like anything that was written by Ralph Vaughan Williams. I started tearing pages out of the hymnal. Oh, you don't like this translator? Well, he was gay too. I said, you don't want gays, so you don't sing their music. And he stormed out. I said, take your fucking Bible, fucking hymnal with you. And that's exactly what I said.
Right.
So I thought you might want to hear that, Brian.
I have no tolerance. And this isn't just limited to Christians. It's out there for everyone, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists. I have no tolerance for any of that. And I've heard it said a lot of people like to do the whole, you're liberal and you're supposed to be tolerant, but here you are intolerant, which is just ridiculous. I have no tolerance for things like that. You can be spiritual and you can believe in God. I don't believe it. You believe it. That's okay.
Huh?
When I start seeing things like this and they start hearing things like that, then I take issue with it. Anyone can pull any ridiculous garbage out of any old book.
Uh-huh. You're saying that you're the physical representation of the line from Full Metal Jacket. I am not racist against so and so and so. Here, you are all equally worthless.
No, I'm not. Over the years, I have gotten more liberal as I go on, and the only reason that is because I think my heart is opening more to the plight of everyone else. You know, it used to be just about me.
And we're broke.
And when I was a Christian, I was very, very intolerant. But as I go along, I become more intolerant towards people of religion because of the things they push. And I oftentimes have the biggest problem with the Christians that always make sure to stand up and say, yes, but I'm not like that. Well, that's great. But why is it then that we always hear the worst the loudest? Maybe for once, the loudest, the best, should be the loudest. And this applies to anyone. This applies to Muslims as well. It's rarely the best standing up and making themselves heard. You know, they're always in the background like, oh, we don't all believe this. We don't all hate women. Well, that's great.
And you know why? Because I always said this.
Meantime,
it's the stupid ones who yells the loudest. The louder someone yells, the stupider they are.
Excuse me. What?
I don't believe that. I think that sometimes there are some pretty freaking smart people out there, and they're haters. They're just flat out haters. And I think that there comes a time where religious folks, Christians especially, or Muslims, whoever you want to throw in there, need to start realizing that it's liberals of all shapes and sizes. It's liberals doing their work. You know, if you are religious and you aren't out there is with a big mouth pushing for these people, pushing for charity, pushing for racial harmony, pushing for this stuff, vocally. But the liberals are, you know, who is really doing God's work?
Right.
I mean, that's how I see it. You know, I think that if the Christians or the Muslims are the loudest and they're always the haters,
well,
this is why.
Can I just say this? I think it's the conservative Christians.
Oh yeah,
are, you know, because I'll tell you what, I'm Episcopalian, and now I'm at a accepting a Presbyterian church, and we work with the community. We do everything we can to help the poor around our area. Okay, and that's what a church is supposed to do, as far as I'm concerned.
And
Absolutely.
Let me interject, Carl. And Brian, you say that it's the ones that say I'm not like that who are the quietest.
Well, no, let me go ahead and say
that. You really haven't hung around Paul that long.
Hey, I have to argue my point because I do feel that when people take a look at the chick tracks or that, they make this assumption that all Christians are like that. And we're not.
Right.
We're all different,
no,
right?
No.
We're all different ways. And
absolutely.
We... You know, and I think that's something, you know, another quick story. I went up to, you know, when I graduated from high school, I was looking for a church music school or, you know, education, you know, music ed school. I went up to Houghton College in Houghton, New York, which is a Wesleyan university. My father went with me. And so the first thing they do is they give you this list. You know, you can't swear, you can't smoke. You can't be near women. You can't, you know, do drugs. You can't. And they handed me this sheet of paper. I gave it to my father. He looked at it, gave it back to me. I pulled out a cigarette, lit it right in front of the guy, and says, well, I guess this isn't the fucking place for me, is it?
Well, to
tell
the truth, Brian, the real reason he got mad is the bottom said he couldn't have one Snicker a week, and he just got pissed over that.
No. It was the cheese, actually. You couldn't eat cheese.
I would get pissed about that.
No, but seriously, my father, who you know, just riled at that. Later, as we were driving home, he looked at me like, says, "That really wasn't bad." He says, "That really wasn't bad." Says,
"I'm
okay
back,
with it."
The most hated thing that Jack Chick had, and it was bizarre, because all of his tracks about this subject really don't make any sense besides it's the devil's birthday. He would say, witches think it's the devil's birthday, but then he would go and make sure and say, oh, no, it's not the devil's birthday, in the same tracks. And his worst enemy, the one thing that he wanted to burn in hell the most, which is why I think it's a beautiful irony that he died on Halloween week. If he died on Halloween, a tear would be rolling down my eye right now.
Right. Well, remember, up until the internet, it was only the most learned researchers that actually knew very much about Halloween and things like that. It was, it wasn't well known that the Catholic Church had, you know, proclaimed, had sort of slapped their religion over the top of this pagan celebration, these pagan celebrations, I should say. And now, of course, we know. You know, they used to carve turnips, and, you know, the Irish brought it to America. You know, we know all this stuff now.
Damn,
but,
dirty,
you know,
Irish.
Back then, all they had to work with were these ludicrous, ludicrous concepts pushed by other ludicrous, ridiculous Christians that would talk about these giant blood orgies, you know, with druid overlords, and, you know, the devil would materialize, and the entire earth would shake, and, you know, these ridiculous, goofy, stupid, idiotic concepts, and of course, then, you know, baby sacrifice, and
well,
sure.
Well, don't forget that these stupid things that they did were not just stupid, but they cost lives too.
They did.
You know,
yeah,
you take a look at the Salem witch trials. You take a look at the Inquisition, and you take a look at all these things. You have to really look at the religion to see that it was mismanaged, to say the least.
Right.
But the scary thing out of all of the Halloween tracks he did one that was beautiful, and I love it to death. It was called Boo, and it was supposed
Boo,
to be
right.
Jack Trick's version of Friday the 13th.
I like
but
it already.
But the main thing of this track is that these kids are about to sacrifice a cat. But then the devil runs in with a chainsaw and a pumpkin on his head and kills them all. And then 20 cops start shooting at him, and he fights them down.
And here's the funny thing. If you don't want to read the Chick tracks themselves, you go to Jack Chick's website, chick.com, and you can actually get the information that these books have. You can get the information from them, ridiculous news stories, LGBT activists now targeting Christians.
You see that on Facebook and the internet all the time. You know, the misinformation that's out there now on the internet is scary how much it is. You
know,
I run Swing Central.
The story about how the gays are going to break in your house and have homosexual sex in front of your family and turn your kids gay, or the one about the gay army. And he was being literal. He said gays are arming themselves and training themselves into military vehicles to make us all turn gay. And if you don't turn the gay, they will take you to the border and kick you out of the United States.
Yeah,
and then, of course, the interesting thing
is if the United States is all gay, then you know, we're going to shrink, okay? I'm just saying.
Well,
they need to keep a couple of us breeders around, and I volunteer.
Right. I mean, they even had a comic for Mormonism, which is hilarious, because at one time that wouldn't have been considered. Like, it would have been like, whoa, you know, you're talking about other Christians. I mean, anyone that knows Mormonism knows it's not really all that close to Christianity in some ways. But, like, yeah, I mean, like, they hit everything. I mean, evolution, which, of course, my family, my grandparents specifically, had been told me that there was no such thing as dinosaurs. that dinosaur, that fossils were put there by Satan. And,
oh.
Do you remember last year?
Right.
Who, Carl will remember because Vicky went on a rant on this girl on the show who had that video who said dinosaurs are all fake.
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
right.
Yes.
Brian,
do you know the Bill Hicks routine on that?
No. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll have to drop it to you. But Bill Hicks, we were going to possibly end this with Bill Hicks. We're not doing it because he was just too dead on and too nasty. But he takes the persona of Jesus Christ and it's like, Dad, I don't want to go down there. They're still wearing crosses. They don't get it. Hey, let's get some fossils and fuck with them. You know, let's put them down there and screw with them.
Yes.
But, yeah, I'll need to drop that to you for sure. I'll do that after the podcast.
And George Collins said one of my favorite things. He said, at the end of time, since there's like 100+ religions in the world, there's going to be like 100 people standing at the pearly gates. 99 of them are going to be very disappointed.
Well, there's that great Bizarro comic, too, that I was telling you, Stephen, which is a rabbi, a Muslim, a Catholic, and a Protestant preacher are all at the gates of heaven waiting to get in, and there's a statue of Ra, of the Egyptian god, and they all turn to each other and says, "We're screwed."
But really, I've seen a lot of people this week call Jack Chick a racist. Oh, he's not a racist. He hated everyone who wasn't in his little niche. It wasn't about race, creed, color. It was just all about religion.
Well, I don't know about that necessarily. I think some of it, a little bit of it, was race-based. I think that while you could probably make the case
definitely race-based.
Like his anti-Semitism, you could go ahead and try to make the case that, you know, Jews, the Jewish religion is different from the actual Jews themselves, the Israelites. You could probably make that case, but like most Christians don't separate Muslims from where they come from. It's usually all mixed up together with race. Yeah, so I mean, I think in some cases there were, and some of their racial depictions were, you know, a little stereotypical.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Here,
maybe not full on.
We don't have much time left. I want to ask you a cool question. How scary is it that coming at the mid-90s and pretty much till now, Jack Chick's crazy rants really have taken flesh with a lot of them? Like the whole anti-Halloween movement that started in the mid-90s.
No, I mean, let's just go further than that. We've got political candidates now who literally will disqualify you if you don't believe some of that craziness. You have to say you believe some of that craziness in order to run for the president of the United States. I mean, that's insanity. It's insane. Insane. And yet, a lot of these people do embrace it. I mean, ask Sarah Palin, I guarantee you. She'll go ahead and tell you some of that stuff is true. I guarantee you. You know, these people, they do believe this stuff. Which, ask yourself this question. Is it just because they're stupid and hateful, or stupid or hateful? Or are they intelligent and they, you know, like, I mean, where are they coming from to believe this stuff? And do they want to believe it? Like, does your religion, does your salvation really hinge on believing this shit? Like, how important is your salvation then? If you believe this shit, do you need a devil that bad? I think that's the question I always have for people. Do you need evil so bad that you believe this garbage?
Yeah, well, maybe. I'm just going to say this. I said it to Carl before. There are some people who, when it comes to religion, they're like junkies quitting drugs. Their way has to be 200% right, or else
right.
everything they believe in is 200% wrong.
Right.
So if you say anything that goes difference between their narrow line, you're personally attacking everything they believe in.
Right. And real spirituality is fluid.
Right, exactly. I was just
going to
go there, Brian.
It has to change. Yeah, it has to change. You have to change. You have to be able to move with society. And you have to be able to determine what is right and what's wrong, what's charitable, what's not, what's good. Wake up in the morning. You may suddenly realize, oh, holy shit, you know, like transgenders, holy shit, I didn't realize that they're just normal people. They just want an understanding, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it comes with every day. Every day is a new thing, and your spirituality has to sort of, it has
transmute
to be open to other people.
And yeah, it has to transmute.
Yeah. And in the long run, it benefits you. It really does. It makes you feel good, which is a great benefit of trying to, you know, be that way. Everyone likes to feel good. It, of course, improves society. Unfortunately, Jack Chick's product did not improve society. Not in any way.
No.
Like,
I agree with that.
He has left behind a fun product. But I don't think he has improved society in any way. He's not left the kind of lasting mark that will be appreciated in 100 years from now.
And I've seen the Jack Chick documentary, and if you really want to learn what we've really been talking about, I would rather recommend that you go see Marjo, the documentary about Marjo Gortner.
Oh, that's a great documentary.
Than the Jack Chick documentary.
Yeah,
that film will teach you how guys like Jack Chick, who really knew how to sell his product to the right people and knew how to hustle his stuff.
Right.
And those are the dangerous folks, those that know how to hustle their product.
Mm-hmm.
Those are usually the people that are the least religious as well. Those are the people who know how to move a crowd. And weasel their way in. That's why so many of these televangelists and stuff, that's why they're also, can you believe people like Jim Baker, can you believe Jim Baker is still doing shit?
Yeah.
Still doing shit. And not just that, but now Jim Baker pushes things like chemtrails and Nephilim and, all of this weird leftist conspiracy bullshit. And they still do. These are the kind of people. All of them are just cult leaders, but they're
no.
All
you know,
Hank
Robinson
said.
That's exactly what I was telling.
Yeah.
And don't forget what Pat Robinson said a couple weeks ago.
Oh Lord.
It's all right for a man to grab a woman's pussy if he's showing her that he thinks she's cute.
I wonder if he really said that. But still, I think it's, you know,
it wasn't that exactly,
it,
but he was
right,
defending
right.
Trump.
Right. I think it's
basically said, well, that's
Pat
just
Robinson,
a male.
If you ever watch his stuff nowadays, he's half senile. And the only reason he's still on the air is he has a contract with ABC Family that they have to put him on there.
Sure. Yeah, I don't doubt it. The thing is,
these people, these televangelists, these people that are the most visible are the ones that I think are destroying Christianity more than anyone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
I truly believe that.
Yeah.
You know, because they want the power. Look what's happened to Falwell's group and how they're, you know, the political chicanery that's going on and so on and so forth.
Right.
How can they back Trump? I mean, that is so hypocritical, it's not even funny. From a Christian perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
And, well, it seems like our time's up. Go ahead, finish, Brian. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I've seen over this last election period, I've seen the Christian perspective change drastically, sadly, in the worst possible way, in the worst possible direction.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
I've not been
it
so...
It seems to me the
so
Christians nowadays are like when you're out with your bus buddy and he's drunk and making a total asshole of yourself. And you're having to sit there apologizing for how much of an asshole your friend is being.
Yeah, I think that I think Christianity as a whole in America has got a lot of digging to do now. And it's unfair to say that all Christians do, but all Christians do now. Because it's the religious right has put them in such a deep, deep...
Oh, I agree. I agree, 100%. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a long fight to get back that respect. And there, and you know, once again, Christianity, I mean, it's no different from anyone else. Everyone's got their issues in their countries and their religions.
Yeah.
And
what's your last
year,
word?
Oh,
what's your last words on Jack Chick, Carl?
Buy the track.
Hey, Carl, wait, before you say it, don't mince words. Don't try to
censor
yourself. Tell the truth.
I think it's a travesty. I think that someone who purports that type of hatred in the name of Christianity isn't a Christian at all. That's my feeling. You know, I mean, you asked me not to mince words. There you go. You know, when we look at Christianity and when we look at the New Testament, which was a New Testament that Jesus Christ gave us, it was about love. It was about love your neighbor as yourself. It was about acceptance. It was about treating women correctly and right. That's my feeling on it, and that's what a Christian left feeling is about it. I have real difficulties with the fundamentalist Christians, of which Jack Chick was attuned to. That being said, you know, it still riles me and it puzzles me that he went into this iconic, ironic stage where we're doing a podcast about him. Personally, I'd rather not do a podcast about him, if you want my honest opinion. But that's me.
Well, we're doing it, like I said, the Caesar. We're not here to praise the man. We're here to bury him. And we're here to probably be more honest than a lot of these, a lot of the articles about him, even the anti-ones, are just said, he was a bad man, he who wrote bad tracks. They didn't really dig up the why he was so bad and harmful. And you two have really hit that on the head. You have done the purpose that it's needed.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. The other thing I would say is something that is a quote from Kurt Vonnegut, Mother Night. Be careful what you pretend to be, because then you are what you pretend to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any last words on him, Brian?
Yeah, if you're a fan of exploitation cinema and you're a fan of underground comics, to start with those two things right there, I would recommend checking them out. I mean, it's not an ironic way either. Get yourself a full, honest-to-goodness blast to the brain pan of this kind of Christian exploitation, this God-sploitation. I think it's...
And you can just go to the website, www.chick.com, and they're there to read.
Well, you can actually get some free ones, and I'll tell you how. Some people aren't going to want to put their money into this, which is totally understandable.
The ones on the website are free. For some reason,
the entire tract
printed there.
Right. No, I'm talking actual paper print. If you want a couple free ones to check them out, you can actually go to their mailing list, their catalog, and they'll offer you a PDF catalog, and then they'll offer you a mailing list catalog that they'll actually mail out to you. If you put your name, your address in there, they will mail you out a catalog with like three or four free Chick Tracks to check out. So if you don't want to put money into it, go ahead and do that. I did it years ago, and they've never bothered me. I don't receive emails from them. I don't get mail from them. So you could do that. Once again, if you're into exploitation, you're into underground comics, you're fascinated by hate, you're fascinated by the movement and the kind of things that people are sharing still to this day. If you're fascinated by that stuff, it's indispensable. I mean, you got to check them out. But if you're if you're opposed to that kind of stuff, yeah, you're not going to want to put your money into it. Not at all. You're just encouraging it.
Exactly. That would be my point.
And honestly, I grew up with Jack Chick and the backlash from him in the 80s. He was even more dangerous than we could really get into. He created Satanic Panic. You would go, everyone in the news, you'd see it. Satanic Panic.
He stoked it.
He was one of the ones enforcing that AIDS was a gays-only disease, and it was their punishment from God.
Yeah, yeah.
He
was also espousing
the fact that he's got one comic where this little girl is molested by her dad about 20 times, and he lets his neighbor help. But because he prays to God and gets forgiven, everything's all right. It never happened.
Right.
And he has two or three more tracks that involve that little line of thinking, only involves with wife beating and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's rarely any legal consequences to any of the evil that some of these people do in these comics, except that they get to go to heaven. They get, you know, I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, you know, and all my sins are gone. Thank you, family. And they all sort of walk off into the sunset. And you are left thinking that, like, wait a minute. No. You should be getting 15 to 65 years. Like, no, wait, hold on. You know, come on now. But, hey, Jesus saves. So,
yeah.
You know, once again, don't read the comic. Don't support it monetarily if you don't want to.
Yeah, don't spend money. You can go on his website. Like I said, you can read the whole damn thing for free. That's how I did it this past week.
Right.
I read about 30, 20
yeah,
or so
yeah,
of them for free, and didn't even spend a dime.
Right.
And
like,
by the way, I didn't read any of them. I'm just saying. I didn't read any
of
them.
Because you're better than us, Carl.
Well, thank you.
And with that, I would like to say good night. See you tomorrow night for us talking about comedy horror. Say good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Open the circuit to the wave motion gun. Open the circuit.
Blood chamber pressure increases.
All the ship's energy is now in the wave motion gun.
I doubt anyone here would recognize civic virtue if it reached up and bit you in the ass.
Oh, did I hurt your feelings?
Well, Magneto's right. There's a war coming.
Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
You sure you're on the right side?